Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Jim, when I was watching the weekend shows, one of the shows I watched was George Stephanopoulos. I was pretty impressed because they did not bash Trump at all on that show. And Ramaswamy is one of the guests who I thought was really interesting. I think he could be the guy that potentially, if Trump does get the nomination, I think that Swamy could come in as his vice president. And I think he would probably accept that, even though he has vehemently denied it. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's not running for vice president. He's running for president. But in reality,
I totally understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. But my point is he is indirectly running for vice president because, you know, that happens. George H.W. Bush was running for president against Ronald Reagan. They had a lot of conflict, and then Bush picked him as his vice presidential candidate. And of course, when you look at, Barack Obama, he picked Joe Biden after Joe Biden tried to run in 2008 and failed. Yeah. And of course, Mike Pence didn't try, but, Trump picked him. But of course, Kamala Harris, she ran for president, was crushed, but she became the vice presidential nominee for Biden and is now vice president and on her way to the presidency, according to her own little mind.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit. When you say on her way to the presidency, you want to elaborate on that?
Well, she was interviewed this weekend and said, hey, I may have to take over. And, of course, with all the faux pas that Joe Biden's doing and the fact that most people don't even think he's actually running the government, even Democrats say he's too old to run. And that's like, 60 to 70% of the Democrats are saying that according to a Wall Street Journal poll and other polls. So they're going to have to look at another alternative, especially when he does things like he did yesterday when in a Medal of Honor ceremony, he hung the Medal of Honor on a gentleman, a Vietnam veteran, and then turned around as people were clapping and just walked off stage before concluding the ceremony and the benediction of the ceremony. It was quite embarrassing.
That's ridiculous. You know, in an event like that, that is absolutely unconscionable.
Yeah. There's been so many occasions where if someone doesn't have a direct handle on him, he is making total mistakes. And I think Peter Ducey, the Fox News White House correspondent, called out Jean-Pierre, KJP Corinne Jean-Pierre, and said, hey, how come the White House is babying Joe Biden? And of course, that's based on a book that just came out about Joe Biden's presidency.
Yeah.
And him in general. And of course, the book was trying to protect Joe Biden, but the reality is you can't really protect someone that is that far lost and that far gone.
No, it's pretty tough. There's no question about that. We're getting pretty close right now, I think, to having a bit of questionable items being shaken out, for lack of better terms. Let's get some predictions from you on the hearing in Georgia. How's that going to affect Trump, in your opinion?
Oh, all it's doing is raising him more money. In the end, if it gets to trial before the election, I don't think it will get to trial before the election. And if it goes beyond the election, then it's not going to go to trial at all. I think the Fannie Willis has made too many mistakes in how she's put this forward. The first of which is publishing the indictment on the county clerk's website prior to grand jury even voting on it. That's a pretty huge mistake. And of course, the fact that she is actually not charging anybody with a crime with the exception of a conspiracy, of all the 19 defendants, she's charging them all with a conspiracy to overturn an election. But when you get into the specifics, that's the only real charge there is. And I think the left loves this. They thought they were going to have some success with it, But legally, I think most legal experts have said there's really no standing here. They're not going to be able to push it through. So it'll probably go to a lot of appeals if it did by chance go to trial and get overturned by others. Just because, look, everybody complains about losing an election. And the fact that they worked hard to try to figure out what corruption went on in 2020 is not a crime. In spite of her argument. And of course, the same with the Justice Department and Alvin Bragg's case. Yeah. You know, if you're in New York or you're in Washington, D.C., there's a high probability of conviction. It'll likely be overturned. But in Florida and in Georgia, you don't have the same type of demographics that are completely insanely angry at Republicans and Trump. So I think that's going to be, a problematic situation for Fannie Willis. And, of course, I think the Florida case with the...
Yeah, so you're basically saying, not basically, but you're saying that you don't think Trump... You think Trump is going to come out of this thing perhaps a little bit scathed, but he's going to come out of it okay. Is that what you're saying, Jim?
I'm actually saying he's going to come out stronger than they expected. He's going to come out stronger. He's so far ahead in the nomination process. The only way they can stop him at this point from being the Republican nominee, as Tucker Carlson has appropriately pointed out, is to kill him. And, there's no one really that's going to jump up. Vivek is I think he's a very interesting character. I know some of our listeners don't trust him. But when you listen to him and you listen to what he's done, I listened back when he was in high school, his valedictorian speech I listened to. He's a sharp, really smart guy. And he is basically a libertarian, and his view of the world and the view of the U.S. government has evolved based on a lot of information that's now coming out, and his experience as a biotech, entrepreneur and a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
So those experiences have changed his view, somewhat like Elon Musk, somewhat like Donald Trump. Donald Trump was a Democrat in the past. So you see the same pattern of people waking up, and powerful people that say, you know what, I'm going to change this because we're going in the wrong direction. Vivek is one of those guys, I believe. His problem is he's Hindu, and if he's, as Hindu, you're not going to get a very strong Christian conservative vote.
Now, who are you talking about, Jimmy? I'm sorry.
I said Vivek will not get a strong Christian conservative vote,
okay,
and that will keep him from being successful in the primaries. So he won't win the primary. But, and of course, that was the vote that Mike Pence helped Donald Trump with when he was vice presidential candidate, along with Trump in 2016. So Vivek would bring a different group. It would bring a conservative Sikh community or Hindu community or an Indian community, which is a very, sizable Asian community. It's a very sizable group in America. It's growing, has more influence, and typically votes Democrat because they just thought they were supposed to. And you know what? They're really changing. And that has a lot to do with Trump and his relationship with Modi, the prime minister in India, and the relationship they developed. And, of course, his policies, which are conservative, and a lot of, like Vivek and other Hindus and other people from that region, from Asia, they are more conservative than many people think, just like the Spanish and Hispanic community in the United States is moving more towards support for Trump because of their conservative values. And believe it or not, the black community does not like to be told that homosexuality is okay. The black community, well, and I can't speak for everybody, of course, but in general, church-going black community that typically votes Democrat is starting to wake up as well. They're saying, wait a second, what's going on with this transgender issue? What's going on with the breakdown in society? What's going on with the fact that Trump actually got us a lot more jobs than the Biden administration has without the inflation, without the, issues? And they're beginning to wake up, and you're seeing a large number move from the black Hispanic community and, of course, the Indian South Asian community towards Trump. Hard to beat that. That brings something very different than the Republicans have had in the past.
Well, it is for sure. What I'm curious about, though, is I want you to talk a little bit about the support that Trump is going to get from the black community. That's something that a lot of people are unaware of right now. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's very funny. So when you go back to his mugshot, and there, and of course, this was partly orchestrated by the campaign, but it's also just independent black voters that put out TikTok videos or Instagram videos that just absolutely lambasted the Biden administration and supported Trump. And a lot of them were very strongly in favor of Trump because, hey, now he's like us. He went to prison. He's got a mugshot. And there's hilarious videos and a lot of them are going viral, large number of them. And a lot of people on the Democratic Party in that leadership are like, they're frantically concerned about this. You've got a very old white guy that has kind of a history of saying inappropriate things. So the black community is going, wait a second, I don't really buy this cultural attack that the Democratic Party is putting on America. And, you know, they don't support transgender ideology. They don't support homosexuality in general. You know, I mean, look, everybody makes their own choices, right? But as a community, when you're looking at it from a political perspective, and you're looking at the types of groups, especially here in the South.
Yeah.
You know, church-going black community that used to support the Democrats just because their preacher or Jim Clyburn, most powerful guy down here in the South, East United States, black politician, says, hey, vote Democratic. They're saying, wait a second, that's not going the direction that we want. And they're beginning to wake up. And they're being also a lot more cautious about what they say because they don't want to be associated with those ideologies, those Marxist far left ideologies. So you're seeing about from 88 percent, to 90% voting for Biden in the last election, if that's at all true. We can't really judge it at this point because the numbers are so fabricated. But from that number, now you're seeing less than 60% or around 60% of the voters supporting Joe Biden in the black community. That's a huge drop, and that will undermine Democrats in every major urban area in those key counties, which will decide the outcome of the 2024 election.
Jim,
is legitimate.
Jim, I just want to make sure I got those numbers right. You're talking about a drop in terms of votership of about 40%. That's a pretty big number. Was that the number that you meant to say?
Yeah, I'm saying it's between 30 and 40%. Like from about 88 to 90% dropping down to 60%. And you're seeing young black males that have that don't get involved in politics and don't want to get involved coming out because of a lot of these videos and a lot of this social media activity saying, wait a second, for the first time in my life, I'm going to go ahead and vote and I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. Why? Because the man's after him. And the old white guy in the that can't even speak and potentially dumps in his pants as well as walks away from very important ceremonies, looks at his watch when the dead are coming back from Afghanistan. And
Jimmy, I'd like to repeat something you told me off mic today about Biden. One of the biggest gaffes I've ever heard of in terms of a medal situation. You just can't do that. And when you're done talking, I'll tell you why that really interests me at this point.
Yeah, well, I think we at the opening of the show, we talked about it.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so there was in the White House, there was a ceremony to give a Vietnam veteran, a helicopter pilot that rescued four individuals under direct fire at night.
Right.
He was giving the Medal of Honor after, decades now, recognized for his heroism. And Joe Biden hung the medal around his neck. Everyone was clapping. And then he turned around and walked away. And in the middle of people clapping, he didn't wait till the end of the ceremony. He didn't wait for the benediction. And people were very confused, as was the Medal of Honor recipient.
Yeah.
That's, and again, no one had control of him up on the stage. So this is, again, a faux pas that is really unacceptable. And of course, I just don't see how he can continue down this road without without people questioning his from his own party. Because what has to happen is people in his own party have to say, you know what, this just isn't going to work. He's not capable of continuing. And you're seeing the breaks. You're seeing that on with Chuck Todd. You're seeing it with George Stephanopoulos. You're seeing it with polls in the Wall Street Journal. You're seeing it in a lot of different areas where people are actually questioning Joe Biden's competency and his age. And you're seeing it in polling across the board for Democrats that say, you know what, he's too old. They've got to get someone else. But the problem with him, they're going to have to do that very rapidly. Uh-huh. So, and who are they going to do? It ain't going to be Kamala Harris because she has very low favorability ratings, incredibly low favorability ratings. And then,
I'll tell you, not to disagree with you, I'm not seeing any dip whatsoever in my local community in terms of support for Joe Biden. We have an event that occurs weekly here in Seattle, basically at Aljoya, where I live. The event is called Current Events. The Current Events is monitored by a gentleman from the faculty of the University of Washington, a guy who's got a PhD now in poli-sci. He absolutely hates Republicans, and he doesn't even try to hide it. He's not close to being impartial, which I have talked to him about. I don't think you should be running a presentation like that if you're not pretty much impartial. But the fact of the matter is, everybody in the audience that's watching this particular current events thing doesn't think there's anything whatsoever wrong with Joe Biden. You want to kind of rationalize that one if you can.
Well, certainly, if you've got someone standing up there that, quote, has credentials, unquote, that says, hey, everything's going well, and you watch MSNBC and CNN. We've talked about this many times, Al, that, you know, there are certain people out there. There's a percentage that no matter what, they will always hate Ronald Reagan. They will always hate Barack Obama. They will always love Donald Trump. They will always love Joe Biden.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain group of people that will not accept reality. And the truth is, if you live inside a bubble, and you live in a bubble in Seattle with Seattle Times.
Very much so, Jim.
You're not gonna change your views.
And no, that's true.
It's just not, there's nothing there to do it until something very significant comes up and happens. And the sad thing is the U.S. mainstream media, the corporate media, goes out of its way to protect the most incompetent president in the history of the United States, which is doing more damage and more destruction than any president, any executive in the history of this nation.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you one thing. The amount of gaffes is not the right word to use here. The amount of major mistakes that Joe is making right now really bothers me. I watched a video yesterday dealing with the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, and it was absolutely amazing. When they brought the coffins home from all the servicemen who were killed over there, the mothers particularly of the soldiers were interviewed, and they were absolutely flabbergasted that Biden handled that particular presentation the way that he did. In light of the fact that he's been making mistake after mistake after mistake, in light of what I'm seeing in my environment here, I really don't think the mistakes that he's making, for example, the one that you just talked about dealing with the Medal of Honor winner for his actions in Vietnam, I really don't think that's going to make much difference to the Democrats, Jimmy.
To a certain level, yes. It's not, again, you're not going to change a lot of Democrats' minds, Al. You're not fighting for Democrats that support Biden, right?
Yeah.
You're fighting for independents and Republicans or conservatives or the non-political factory worker that maybe has voted Democrat but doesn't really want to be associated with a party.
Yeah.
The Republican or conservative that doesn't want to be associated with a party. Those are the people you're fighting for, and independents. And you know what? All the numbers show that the nation is getting very tired of the lies that the administration puts out. When they say that they're actually improving the economy, but we're at about like somewhere between 20-22% of inflation over the last 2.5 years, when we have 7 million more illegal immigrants in the United States, when you have, you know, I mean, the economy is they claim that they are improving it, but the reality is it's actually going south. And, you know, there are certain people that are going to hear that and they're going to say, yep, economy's going great. But that's, if you believe a lie, you're just an idiot. And that's the reality. You've got people there that their retirement money is fading because of inflation, but they are set because there's a certain number of, you know, there's an income and they've got a plan.
Yeah.
It's not really going to affect them. And they don't know any different because they're hearing it from CNBC and NBC and ABC that everything is good.
Well, that's what I'm hearing around here, Jim. And
Here's what I want to say.
Yeah.
You cannot make assumptions based on extremely left or extremely right perspectives.
Right.
So if you're going into downtown Portland or you're going into downtown Seattle or L.A., that is not the entire mood of the country. And you can't – the same thing. You can't go into, you know, in the rural areas here in South Carolina and think that you're getting the exact view of what the country is.
Uh-huh.
It's a comprehensive view. And the problem is Democrats right now are facing the reality of policies that they put in place, sanctuary city policies where, you know, Adams, the mayor in New York, is saying, stop, no more. Phil Murphy, the the governor of New Jersey, who called New Jersey a sanctuary state, says no more. Can't do it. We can't take it. They're all facing the crime, the costs, the problems that they have with accepting illegal immigration. And now they're blaming the Republican Party and the White House on it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. They opened the doors. Bellingham opened his doors. Seattle opened their doors. Can they afford it? No, they get more homeless. Can they? It's ridiculous. So they're going to face – it takes a long time for those policies put in place to do the damage that – you know, it takes really a decade or two before it starts making people say, you know what, that was stupid. You saw it in New York. You saw the ramifications in the Chaz or the CHOP in Seattle in 2020. And you're seeing it in Portland. The businesses are leaving in droves. California, 30% of the businesses have left San Francisco. And, oh, it'll be next year before those revenues are so bad. And then the year after that, they'll get worse. And the year after that. And then come 4 or 5 years, they don't have any cops because no one wants to work there.
Well, I got to tell you, I just saw today in, of all papers, the Seattle Times, Nordstrom's, which was a big store in San Francisco on Market Street, is closing its doors. Nordstrom's in San Francisco will be gone in less than a week.
Yeah, and I think they already closed in Seattle, right?
No, I have not heard that they're closed in Seattle. I know that they closed in Vancouver, B.C., probably about a month ago. Seattle, I'm not sure about.
Yeah, I don't know. But they're having to close stores. And the reason why? Because of crime, shoplifting.
Right. Theft,
because
that's
what I'm
saying.
No law enforcement to stop it. Because of policies that the left has put in place.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't disagree. Pretty good diatribe from you, Jimmy, on reasons to vote for Trump, or if not Trump, certainly the Republican candidate. I want to talk about that tomorrow, by the way. I want to talk about alternatives to Trump.
Hey, the thing that we have to do, it ain't about voting. It's about making sure the vote matters.
Yeah.
And that's what has to happen right now. And that's, you know, that's the problem we're facing. And, you know, look at Brazil, what happened there. You know, yeah. Bolsonaro, absolutely incredibly popular guy.
Yeah.
Look at the frustration down in Venezuela, where it absolutely hated. And of course, but, you know, electronic voting machines, observer failed observing. You know, it's just when you can't actually look at the vote count, when you don't have people, Democrat, Republican, independent, whatever,
yeah,
communist, actually counting the votes, when it's all done by machine, you can't trust the outcomes. You just can't.
Well, it's not a good situation. There's probably no question about that. But I do want to say, hold on to your seatbelt, or make sure your seatbelts are buckled for the next almost a year, because I think we're going to see some really, really interesting, thought-provoking anomalies in the electoral process. Jim, anything else you want to say? Thanks a lot so far.
No, I just, you know, I just think that there's, we are at a point in human history, and it's not just America. And, you know, a lot of our listeners, they say, hey, we've already, you know, the U.S. is done and gone for it. It's not. The U.S. is not done and gone for it. It can be saved. And it's always going to have problems, but we have to act.
Yeah,
we have to
we
get
do.
Involved.
Yeah.
And people are beginning to see it. And again, you're only fighting for a six. There are less than 100,000 votes nationally that determined the outcome of this last election. With all the corruption that was involved, there was less than 100,000 votes to determine the outcome. That is what has to change. We've got to have such a sweeping victory and oversight on these elections. And it doesn't, I'm not, I was never a partisan guy. It's Republican, you know, I was supported Ronald Reagan when I was 19 years old, the first time I cast my ballot in 1980. So I've always been a conservative, but I'm not a party guy. I've only realized the only way you make changes is with mass. You have to have enough people on one group that says enough of what's happening.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Which that's why people have to get involved. And, you know, that's what the left has done effectively. They've manipulated. They've lied. They've told people untruths about climate. They've, you know, made these fabricated statements about the border being positive for America. All these types of lies. And people believed it because the media has been spinning it that way. And the tech companies have been censoring it. And if we can't put up, if we can't stop that, then we are doomed. And I don't want to be doomed. I want a future for this station and my family and my children.
I do too, Jim. There's no question. In my case, I certainly want a future for my kids who are climbing ladders in their respective corporate positions that are doing really well. I want them to be able to continue to do that for the rest of their lives. Jim, thanks so much, man.
You bet.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.